content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the special Real Simple edition of The Power of Plants, Calming Benefits, Houseplants, and Healing Gardens That Thrive. And this chapter we're reading is Better Side by Side. These companion plants grow stronger when they're together. And this is by Christine Granero. Sometimes in life, two is better than one. And that is especially true of what are known as companion plants. It may be that one plant attracts pollinators or deters insects, while another enhances nutrient intake. Whether you have a large plot or a small raised bed, combining certain fruits, vegetables, flowers, and herbs will improve your garden's biodiversity, explains George Pisegna, Director of Horticulture at the Horticultural Society of New York. These duos are experts' favorite companion gardening combinations. Take a look and you'll see why. Broccoli and calendula. Why it works. Pests such as aphids are very attracted to the pollen and nectar of the calendula, leaving the brassicas crops, broccoli, cauliflower, collard greens, alone to thrive, says Pisegna. Tomatoes and basil. And why this works. The fragrant scent of basil has been shown to repel tomato hornworm and certain flies, notes Pisegna. You have also planted the perfect combination for a delicious summer salad. Anyone for caprese skewers? Melons and herbs. Why it works. By allowing your herbs to flower, you will attract more pollinators to the melons, which will help them prosper and taste sweeter, says Pisegna. Potatoes and marigold. Why it works. The strong scent of the marigold contains substances that repel the potato beetle, which can cause a lot of damage to the potato plant, says Pisegna. Carrots and radishes. Why it works. This pairing is more about making the most of your garden space than anything else. Radishes grow in the upper level of the soil, while carrot roots grow deeper. Each plant pulls nutrients from a different area in the soil, explains Pisegna. Eggplant and spinach. Why it works. The eggplants will grow tall, providing some shade for the spinach. Further, the dense growth of the spinach will help suppress weeds, notes Pisegna. Cucumbers and nasturtium. Why it works. The trick here is to plant nasturtiums at the base of a trellis for cucumbers. The peppery scent of the nasturtium flower will help repel the cucumber beetle, says Pisegna. Otherwise, the beetle can eat new leaf growth that can stunt the plant along with flowers that will decrease production. Here we have... Okay, the next thing is growing potatoes at home. They're the perfect crop to plant in early spring. And this is by Debbie Wolf. Potatoes are a rewarding crop that will give you a high yield as long as you provide them with the right growing conditions. Once planted, They need minimal tending until harvest time. Best of all, potatoes store well so you can enjoy your harvest for months. Melting potatoes, anyone? Here's how to grow potatoes at home, from planting to watering, and from hilling them to harvesting them. When to begin? Potatoes are cool weather crops and can be planted in the early spring as soon as the soil is workable. Although they like cool temperatures, they do not like freezing temperatures. Plant them as soon as the soil reaches 45 degrees Fahrenheit, or 2 to 3 weeks before your last frost date. Potato plants can tolerate a light frost, but you will need to recover the plants with some protection if your area gets a late season heavy frost. Preparing the garden. Oh, okay. I think we read that. The case for fresh seed potatoes. Grocery store potatoes are not always suitable for use as seed potatoes. That is, potatoes that are planted to produce more potatoes. Although you can be planted in the garden, there is no way to guarantee that the potatoes haven't been treated with a fungicide or other chemicals to prevent sprouting. Seed potatoes sold by nurseries or seed companies are certified disease-free and are not treated with chemicals. For best results, use fresh seed potatoes. They will give you better yields, are less prone to disease, and offer you a larger variety of species not found in the grocery store. The prep work. When you get your seed potatoes, they will probably not have sprouts yet. A week or two before planting, place the potatoes in a sunny area with temperatures between 60 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit to encourage sprouting. A day or so before planting, outdoors, use a sharp, clean knife to cut the seed potatoes into 2-inch pieces. Seed potatoes smaller than 2 inches can be planted whole. Each piece must contain an eye or bud. Allow the cut potatoes to callus over. This step will help improve rot resistance and water retention once planted. First plant, then hill. Potatoes are grown using a hilling technique. The seeds are planted deep, and the stems are buried gradually by hilling up additional soil around the plant as it grows upward. Dig a trench at least 6 to 8 inches deep. Plant the potatoes cut side down with the eyes pointing up, spaced 12 to 15 inches apart. Rows should be planted at least 3 feet apart. Cover the potatoes with 4 inches of soil. Once the seedlings emerge, add a layer of mulch to conserve moisture. Help with weed control, and cool the soil. Once the plants grow to about 6 inches tall, you can start hilling them. Mound the soil around the plants and continue to do so as they grow. The goal is to bury 1/3 of the plant. The buried stems will produce more potatoes. Theoretically, you can continue to hill the potatoes as much as you want. However, rain and wind will erode the hills unless you use rocks or bricks around them to prevent erosion. Continue hilling until the potato plants bloom and the above-ground part of the plant is at least a foot tall. Hilling is an important part of growing potatoes. Tubers that are exposed to sunlight for a long period of time will turn green and produce a solanin, a toxic compound that induces nausea. Although it's considered toxic, you would have to consume a large amount of the compound to experience side effects. However, it's better to be safe than sorry. And best watering practices. Potatoes like even moisture. The plants need 1 to 2 inches of water per week. Inconsistent water will lead to misshapen tubers. When the foliage starts to yellow and die back, decrease watering. How long does it take? Potatoes can be ready to harvest in 70 to 90 days, depending on the variety. The tubers are ready when the foliage begins to die back. However, you can harvest baby potatoes about 2 to 3 weeks after the plants are done flowering. Carefully dig around the plant and only remove the few potatoes you plan to eat immediately. The harvest. Potatoes you plan to store should not be dug up until 2 to 3 weeks after the foliage dies back. Wait for a few days of dry weather before you harvest. Use a sturdy garden fork to carefully dig potatoes. After harvesting, allow the potatoes to lie in garden soil for 2 to 3 days. This step allows the potatoes to start the curing process, which will help them last longer in storage. Curing should be done in a dry, cool, dark place, 45 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. For up to 2 weeks. If the forecast calls for wet weather, you can also cure your potatoes in a protected area such as a garage or covered porch. Storage. Potatoes can last for months as long as there is plenty of ventilation. Cool temperatures, high humidity, and no light. Store the potatoes in a cool area between 42 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Warm temperatures can encourage sprouting and disease. Typically, an unheated basement or garage is ideal, but if you live in a warm area, consider storing them in an extra refrigerator set to a temperature higher than normal. And our next article is the best perennials for adding color to your garden. These popular flowers make a splash every spring. And this is by Andrea Beck. Whether you're a beginning gardener or a pro, these perennials are some of the best to include in your garden. They're easy to grow, and once you plant them, they'll keep coming back every year to fill your landscape with their beautiful flowers and foliage. Check a USDA plant hardiness zone map online to see which zone you live in to make sure these flowers can thrive in your region. And the first is the blanket flower, a drought and heat tolerant perennial wildflower. Blanket flower Gaillardia provides long-lasting color, even in spots with poor soil. In red, gold, or brown, its daisy-like 3-inch-wide single or double perennial flowers bloom through the summer and into the fall. Although often short-lived, it's easy to grow and will flower the first year from seed. It needs full sun, and the watering is plant in dry soil. The size is up to 3 feet tall, and the zones are 3 to 10. And I think we're here in North Carolina, and I think we're zone 8, or 7 and 8. But you can look that up, and I will look that up also. USDA Plant Hardiness Zone Map online. And let me underline that. Okay. And Veronica. The 7-inch spikes of Veronica bloom in shades of blue or red from early summer through fall. In the north, Veronica prefers sun, but it likes a bit of shade in the south. Grow these perennial plants at the front of your flower garden or flower bed. They need full sun to part shade. They need plant in well-drained soil and can tolerate dry soil. They grow up to 2 feet tall, and they'll go in zones 3 to 11. Tall garden phlox. Phlox paniculata, garden tall or border phlox, produces large trusses of fragrant perennial flowers from summer to early fall. It's an old-fashioned favorite that has few rivals for its color display and light, sweet, light sweet fragrance. It's well suited as a border plant for the back of your yard and cottage gardens. It needs full sun to part shade. Plant in consistently moist, well-drained soil. It grows up to 4 feet tall and is for zones 4 to 8. And Russian sage. Suited to large gardens, this giant creates clouds of blue flowers in late summer. Russian sage is a full sun perennial, and it is tolerant of drought and heat. Plant these perennial flowers at the back of the bed and give them room to grow. They need full sun and plant in well-drained soil, and they grow up to 5 feet tall. They are for zones 4 through 9. Perennial sage. Oh, that was Russian sage that we had, and now this is perennial sage. The salvia family includes both annuals and perennials that make beautiful garden plants. Hybrid perennial sage, Salvia ex sylvestris, a relative of the herb garden favorite, is an especially pretty and easy care plant. It produces 18-inch spikes of blue, purple, or white flowers in late spring. It will often rebloom in summer if deadheaded. The variety shown May night is both cold, hardy, and showy. And it is a picture of some, just the short green plants with some purple sprouts above it. Needs light, full sun, plant in well-drained soil, and it grows up to 5 feet tall. It's good for zones 4 to 9. and asters, a staple of the fall garden. Asters burst forth with their star-like perennial flowers in late summer and autumn. Bloom colors include rich pinks, blues, purples, and ruby reds. They can soar to 5 feet, depending on the species, and are excellent for beds and borders, as well as for cutting to bring indoors. It needs full sun to part shade, and you plant in consistently moist, well-drained soils. It grows up to 5 feet tall and is good in zones 3 to 9. Astelebe, the feathery plumes of astilbe, rise above fern-like foliage for a month or more in late spring and early summer. Available in shades of pink, white, and red, astilbes are some of the best perennials for shady, moist spots. Plant a swath of these perennial flowers for a memorial display year after year. They need full sun or part sun. A plant in consistently moist, well-drained soil, and they grow up to 3 feet tall, and they're for zones 4 to 8. The purple cornflower. This native prairie wildflower looks especially beautiful when you plant the Magnus variety, which throws its petals out horizontally, daisy style. Cornflower tolerates heat and drought, and it blooms all summer long. Plant these tall perennial flowers in the middle or back of the bed. They like full sun and plant in well-drained soil. They grow up to 30 inches tall and are good for zones 3 through 9. Switchgrass, a gorgeous North American native prairie grass, switchgrass offers the garden multi-season texture and easy maintenance. Most varieties grow 2 to 6 feet and produce showy seed plumes from midsummer into fall. Some also have rich red or purple foliage in autumn. They like full sun, plant in evenly moist, well-drained soil. They grow up to 6 feet tall, and they're for zones 4 through 9. Yarrow. Even if you've never gardened before, you can grow yarrow without much effort. Yarrow is a tough perennial that is hardy throughout most of the United States and can withstand heat, drought, and cold. This plant features ferny, gray-green or dark green spicy-scented foliage and showy, flat-topped clusters of flowers in pink, red, white, or yellow, appearing from late spring to early fall. They like full sun, plant in well-drained soil, and they grow up to 3 feet tall, and they're good for zones 3 to 10. Peonies. Often sweetly fragrant, peony flowers are showstoppers because of their large size and bright hues. Numerous varieties offer a wide range of colors, almost every shade except blue, with some bicolors and blooming periods from late spring to early summer. They make excellent additions to fresh cut bouquets if you can bear to remove them from your garden. Plus, peonies are very long-lived perennials that don't need a lot of care. Full sun to part shade, and plant in well-drained soil, up to 4 feet tall, and it's for zones 3 to 8. Coreopsis. You'll find native coreopsis, also called tick seed, in a range of sizes and several colors, from yellow and white to pink and red. Two of the best types for flower gardens are the threadleaf varieties, Coreopsis verticillata, like moonbeam and zegrebe, shown here, and large flowered varieties, like early sunrise, both produce small, daisy-like flowers all summer long if deadheaded, drawing plenty of pollinators. And that's for zone 3 to 9. The Siberian iris. Like most irises, Siberian iris, but once established, it will tolerate dry soil. These plants add color to flower beds in early summer and vertical accents all summer long. The blooms appear atop leafless stems rising from the grass-like foliage. Colors include white, blue, yellow, and violet, and many bicolors. In addition to brightening the garden, Siberian iris provides a steady supply of cut flowers. It likes full sun and plants in well-drained soil up to 40 inches tall. The zones are 3 through 9. And one more is moss phlox, perfect for rock gardens alongside paved areas, the front of raised perennial gardens, or as a ground cover on a slope. Moss phlox, Phlox subulata, forms a dense creeping mat up to 6 inches high and 2 feet wide. The sweet small leaves are slightly prickly, and the entire plant is covered with fragrant white, pink, blue, lavender, or red flowers in spring. The foliage of this native plant is semi-evergreen in the north and evergreen in the south. It likes full sun and plants in well-drained soil, up to 6 inches tall, and can spread up to 2 feet. The zones are 3 through 9. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org.